The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, here are your hosts, veteran fundraiser and management consultant Ezra Creed and public relations consultant Ellen Shulman.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits. This is Ellen Shulman, and I'm pleased to welcome this week Myra Weaver. She's with the Florida Youth Orchestra. Now, all of us in South Florida value our arts, and your organization is helping our children. So welcome, Myra. Tell us a little bit about the Florida Youth Orchestra.
Well, thank you for having us here. The Florida Youth Orchestra is in its 25th season. I was its founder in 1988, and it is a regional nonprofit organization that provides music education, classical music education for children, and performance for the community, and outreach programming for pretty much all segments of the Tri-County area.
So you serve Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade?
Yes.
And you were the founder. So just tell us a little bit about your background personally and what led you to develop this wonderful organization.
Well, my background is not in music. I never played anything, but my children did. And as they became proficient, we realized that there was no opportunity for them to learn, perform, and appreciate classical music. School bands are not the same as an orchestra. And so we thought, since there wasn't any, that there might be a need, and we started it hoping that they would develop interest in it over hopefully 1 year, 2 years, as long as it could go, and it ended up being 25 years. And
did you ever dream that it would grow into the massive organization that it is today?
No, not for a minute, no.
How many children per year go through your program?
We have 375 children. They come from West Palm Beach South to Key Biscayne, ages 5 to 18, from all backgrounds, tremendous diversity, and they work in orchestra divisions based on their level. So we never have less than about 350. This year we've got 375, but that's in addition to children that we work with out in the community who do not come to us for orchestra rehearsals.
Now, the participants, these kids are the extraordinary talented musicians. They actually have to audition, correct?
Yes.
Even a five-year-old has to audition?
Yes.
that's incredible. What instrument can a five-year-old play?
Oh, believe it or not, they start violin players at like 18 months with little teeny, teeny violins. And some of these kids by 5 years old have developed considerable proficiency, primarily at the younger age and at the beginning levels. You're not seeing achievement and not judging on that basis. It's more a matter of potential. We see that children have an ease with developing a sense of music, handling the instrument, being able to follow a conductor. And so when we identify children through an audition as being higher level, they're in higher groups. When they are at a lower level, that's just fine as long as we see the potential for growth and, of course, commitment.
So over 25 years, have you identified any star proteges that have gone on to become professional musicians?
Yes, we have. We have many of our alumni are now performing in professional orchestras. Some are quite well known. Our first concertmaster was Daniel Bernard Romain, and he's based in New York. He's world-renowned as a violinist. He got a doctorate in music. He teaches. He's very prestigious positions, and others who are in professional orchestras, performing with on recordings, and even, you know, they've gone into teaching and sharing what they know and what they've learned.
It has to be incredibly personally rewarding to see the results of that. So if a parent's listening out there and they're... Is it only string instruments, or you also have some wind instruments involved as well, right?
Well, the question we get asked most is, what's the difference between a band and an orchestra?
Okay.
And pretty much everybody's seen some kind of band somewhere. The difference is that an orchestra has strings, meaning violin, viola, cello, and bass. And actually music training is the most valuable activity a child could participate in terms of having lifelong benefits in all aspects of their life. And so if someone is interested in starting their child on lesson, they should definitely go for it. If the child is playing even from a beginner point, they should consider auditioning. We have auditions every year the first Saturday in June.
And so if anybody's interested in sending their child for an audition, they need to check your website, correct? That'd be the best way to do it, to find the specific dates and times. And that's at www.floridayouthorchestra.org. They can also call 954-962-5666 to find the exact times for auditions. Tell us what a parent needs to look for in their child to determine whether they're ready for an audition.
If they're already playing an instrument, and even if they're just playing for a few months to a year, and they're liking it, if they're interested in practicing, if they enjoy the lessons, if they'll listen to music when you play it on the car radio, or they hear it somewhere else, then, you know, chances are you've got a child that will be willing to commit to music study. Sometimes you can't identify them at all. You stick the instrument in their hand and you say, "We're going for a lesson." And before you know it, the child loves it and he's on his way.
So you're touching on the key there. If the child doesn't love it, doesn't want to practice, and has no interest, then it's probably... What do you recommend to the parent? Don't push them? Or at what point do you push, and what point do you just determine that it's a natural inclination?
Well, the proverbial child who doesn't want to practice and mom makes him do it actually does have benefit, because kids reach a point, a plateau, where they, "I don't want to do this anymore." So it's not bad to encourage them to stay with it, give it a try. Sometimes it's helpful to switch them to another instrument, because they might only be bored with the one they're doing or find it not rewarding. On the whole, if a kid totally rebels and there's nothing he wants more than to be on a soccer field, then you probably aren't going to make much progress in the direction of music.
Do you have any hints for how to pick the right instrument for your child?
Well, the youngest kids start string instruments, because wind and brass requires certain physical development in the tongue, the lips, the lungs. So children who start, say, violin can do so at 2.5, 3 years old. If they haven't started and your child is 8 or 10, well, pretty much you could give them an option. You could let them hear what an instrument sounds like, touch the instrument, go to a music store and let them monkey around with the instruments, and they'll kind of glom onto something themselves.
Well, it's just so interesting. We have so much to cover, but we're going to take a little break and come right back. So we've been talking to representatives from the Florida Youth Orchestra, and that's floridayouthorchestra.org or 954-962-5666. And we'll have more exciting news about the Florida Youth Orchestra when we come back in just a minute.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
"Fantastic!"
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sterile bandage. A sandbag. A doctor. A sheet of plywood. A shovel. A bulldozer. A stethoscope. A cement mixer. An oxygen tank. A bed. A house. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact. It can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most. food, medical services, shelter, and other essential supplies. It can help improve the immediate distress and over time becomes a crucial tool in rebuilding schools, hospitals, and homes and getting local businesses back on their feet. A monetary donation is an easy and effective way you can help.
Want to help those affected by Hurricane Sandy? To donate, visit sandy.adcouncil.org. That's sandy.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Forum for Nonprofits. We just heard from Myra Weaver, who's the founder of the Florida Youth Orchestra. And now I'm pleased to introduce Ron Polterak. He is a parent, a board member, and a very passionate volunteer for this organization. So welcome, Ron. We were just talking at the break about his son, who actually started in the Florida Youth Orchestra. Tell us about the beginnings and how you were first introduced to this organization.
Well, first, I do want to say thank you for having us and letting us speak about our group. My son started playing the violin at age 6. He is now 16, so he's been at it 10 years.
Was this his choice to pick up the violin? To tell us how you got him interested in it?
Absolutely. Thankfully, we didn't have to get him interested in it. He came to us, said, "Mom, Dad, I want to play an instrument. What do you want to play?" And at first, he wanted to play the piano, but his school wouldn't offer it to someone of that age.
The 6 is young. Well, very young.
So they talked about the possibilities, and violin was one of them, and I don't know why he chose that, but he did. And to say that he took to it is to put it mildly. He really, really took to it from the beginning.
That's great. So, I mean, to stick with it for 10 years. So tell us about his journey, and at what point did you know he obviously had an extraordinary talent and he was ready to audition?
His music teacher, his violin teacher, actually had told him and us about FYO, and he really just didn't have an interest in it for a period of time, to be honest. And then he came around and decided. We always let him decide when it's right for him. So when he was about 9, he said, "You know, I think I'd like to do it." So we found out about the tryout, the auditions. As Myra had mentioned before, and that summer we went for an audition, and they were pleased to have him. They put him in the second highest level, which is the symphony, and he's stuck with it ever since and been happy doing
so. So what was the audition experience like? Was he nervous? Did he have to prepare, you know, certain pieces of music? I mean, obviously he did an excellent job or he wouldn't have gotten in, but...
He was nervous because, for one, he wasn't used to doing auditions. Now he's been not just in FIO but in all-state orchestra, and he's done a number of, you know, seating auditions and things like that. But yeah, he was a little anxious about it. I remember my wife and I sitting in outside the audition room waiting, and also we were there when he was just kind of warming up, and you can see that some of the people from FIO, when he was warming up, they were looking at him like, this kid's got some talent.
That's so great. You must have been very, very proud. Now, one of the things that I thought was interesting about this organization, it's not one orchestra. How many different musical groups are there in the organization?
As Meyer mentioned, we have a number. I think there's 7, 4 different levels. The highest level is the principal, where my son's played for the last 4 years, below that symphony and down. And it gives kids of different abilities the opportunity to participate. And FYO, I might mention to you, and this is why I, as a parent, as a board member, and a donor myself, why I'm so passionate about it. We're not just a charitable organization that helps our member families. We go into Title I schools. We go to kids in distress. We have an arrangement with the Cleveland Clinic, and we go out and perform and bring our kids there. In Title I schools, we bring teachers and instruments at our cost, which is why we need funding, at our cost, to aid kids that would never have the opportunity. And
really
it really,
amazing.
You know, they get all the benefits of that.
Because I know a lot of the schools have actually cut out their music programs or reduced their music programs because of funding. And thank goodness for an organization like yours that comes in to supplement that.
And I hate to jump on that funding, but I need to. One of the primary sources over the last 25 years, as Myra said, this is our silver anniversary year. One of the primary funding sources has been government grants. And the government grants are just drying up. But we want to continue doing all the good we do. We want to reach out to those Title I school kids. We want to do everything we can for our member families. And that's why funding for us is important.
And there's so many great questions to ask. Now, the different orchestras that the kids are involved in, do they do public performances? If somebody said, boy, I'd really like to go hear a concert, can they do that? Do they
Absolutely.
Have to buy tickets? How does that work?
Some of our concerts require tickets and some do not. Our principal orchestra is performing next month. And they're going to be performing at the Aventura Mall, for example. But we do performances.
So throughout the year, there's different performances, and they're all listed on the website at floridayouthorchestra.org.
We have some performances at Bailey Hall, at the Coral Springs Center, various other, Meisner Park in Boca, Aventura Mall.
So all over South Florida, that's a big commitment for these young people, too, a lot of time commitment.
Their time commitment really starts in September. We give them a couple of weeks to get into school before we start up. And every Monday night, these kids, depending upon the age, the level, my son, for example, has to be in his seat at 6:45, and they don't finish until 9.
Mm.
That's every Monday night. So a little stressful trying to get homework done on top
I'm
of
sure.
that and getting him from the school bus home and then to FYO. But I tell you, every year I look, is he going to want to do it again? And there's never a question. He just loves it.
And does he have to audition every year, or is he automatically in? Because once you get in, you can stay in up until, what, my recital, 18?
Once you're in, the only question is auditioning to move up, as he did after his second year from the symphony to the highest level, mm-hmm. the principal orchestra. They also do audition every year for their seating
for
audition.
The chairs, right. That's really great. Tell us a little bit more about the Title I schools. Do you go in and just do like a one-time program and then leave? Do you provide
No.
instruments? How does that work?
It's a continual program where we bring in teachers and we go all the time.
That's great.
And we bring in instruments at our cost, and it costs a lot. That's why we need funding.
And have you been able to identify talented children in these Title I schools that have then gone on to become part of the youth orchestra? Does that happen?
Absolutely.
That's great.
And it's one of the many wonderful things that we do and why I'm so passionate about the 40th
Orchestra. So you obviously your son is involved. And then so what motivated you personally? I mean, you're a busy attorney to donate your time and effort to get involved in this organization. Why do you do that?
Because I see it's such a fine organization run by some very, very fine people. Obviously, our founder and president, Myra, her late husband, Bob Weaver, the weatherman who unfortunately passed before I got involved. But it was just seeing the organization, what we do as a charitable organization. We're doing charity, you
right.
know, for the Title I schools for kids in distress. When you see how much good we do for this community, and the studies show that kids who are involved in music, they don't get involved in the drugs and other bad
right.
things.
Because they're busy.
So,
and it helps with math, right? There's studies that show all the benefits of music. So, Ron, you have given great reasons for people to want to get out your checkbooks, get out your credit card, because when we come back, we're going to hear from Myra again about how you can get involved and help more young people experience music through the Florida Youth Orchestra. So for more information, visit their website at floridayouthorchestra.org or call 954-962-5666, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and I have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
back to the Forum for Nonprofits. You'll notice that the beautiful music you just heard was not one of our normal public service announcements, but actually an excerpt from one of the Florida Youth Orchestra concerts. So, Myra, what were we listening to? It was certainly beautiful. It's hard to believe children were playing that.
Yes. Some of the children that you're hearing there are 10 years old.
That's amazing.
That's our principal orchestra. They've played twice in Carnegie Hall and also at the Kennedy Center in Washington, where they attracted the largest audience ever for a concert on their Millennium Stage. So they are extremely advanced, and although some very young. That was March Slav. It's Russian music, so it's always kind of heavy and serious, but they play a variety, even pops music mixed in, especially when we're doing an outdoor concert like at Meisner Park Amphitheater or the Miami Sea Aquarium. They'll play, mix in some popsy stuff, but primarily the focus is on classical music because they never hear it. We don't have one major professional orchestra as most cities do. We can't provide it in the schools. Budgets would prohibit adding arts programs, unfortunately, because they are very valuable but need funding. They're hearing music they don't hear. They're playing music they never have reason to perform. And audiences love it. It's great music. You don't have to be a real aficionado to appreciate
it. It just enriches our entire community. And it's so, obviously, as we were talking to Ron, this doesn't come for free. I don't know do the kids actually pay to be involved in this? Do they have a tuition that they pay?
Yes, there's a nominal season fee, which covers absolutely everything. We don't ask them to do any, activities that would cramp their already busy schedules. But we do ask them to pay the season fee to defray our costs in having the child there. And, of course, anyone who can't pay, they're waived. We obviously are not going to turn a child away, regardless of circumstance.
And plus you do the programs in the low-income schools, you provide instruments. I mean, this has to cost a lot of money. And where does this money come from?
Yes, this is very costly. When we rehearse each week, every Monday night, we're spending $1,000 on that two-hour rehearsal. That's what it costs us.
Wow.
Because there's a large staff, a large number of kids. Of course, the cost of music purchase and rental and, copy. But the programs that we do in outreach mode would be like the STEPS program, where children get the instruments and they can take them home. So we have to purchase them and pay the teachers, and we seek grants often specifically for that program as targeted donations for the outreach STEPS program. But it's harder to come by, obviously, than it ever was. And so we seek government grants, as Ron said, which would be the Miami-Dade County Cultural Division, the Broward Cultural Division, Palm Beach, State of Florida. But that's not enough, and we ask corporations, businesses, professionals, individuals, anyone that can donate to the cause. They're putting their money in a very good place, more than they even realize.
So talk to our listeners about what are some of the ways they can give. I mean, an individual maybe that doesn't have a lot of money wants to buy an instrument or fund one child per season. What kind of money are you talking about for something like that?
Yes, they could absolutely underwrite the season fee for a child who couldn't afford it. They might want to pay for the purchase of a piece of music that would be played on a concert.
How much does a piece of music cost?
A piece of music can be $500 to $600.
Wow.
That's one piece for you purchase it, and then, of course, preparation. It has to be, copied and placed into the folders once you've purchased it. And so in the end, it's about $500 per piece. Some pieces are only for rent. You can't buy them. And that's equally expensive, and you don't get to keep it.
Do you take used instruments?
Yes, that's another thing, sure. People who want to donate an instrument, maybe it's been in their family or they came across it somehow. We have children who could use better instruments, and the children in that STEPS program are being given instruments, so we can give it out to them. And those are children who would never, ever, ever have an opportunity to learn music And they're learning.
What a great cause. So what's the easiest way for somebody to donate? Do they go online? Do they call you? They send a check? Talk to us about the best way to give money.
Well, there is a donation button on our website. They can donate right through the website with credit card, PayPal. They can also mail us a donation.
And your website has all that information,
yes,
about the check?
Yes. And then, you know, there are things like planned giving, planned gifts. We have people who would have, you know, whatever assets or whatever they would want to dedicate as their legacy. So, you know, anything is welcome at any time.
That's great. And you can't think of a better cause. So if you're interested in more information, go to floridayouthorchestra.org or call 954-963-5666 and help our young people learn to love music. Until next week, this is Ellen Shulman from the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ezra Cree, Senior Consultant with Kreisenberg LLC, and Ellen Shulman, President of Ellen Shulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.